God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. My name is Robin, and I'm a compulsive reader, and I'm the first moderator. I wanted to point out that we do have coffee and soda and water. It's by donation, so please help yourself anytime. Welcome to the Spring into Recovery Through the Steps workshop. My name is Robin. I'm a compulsive reader. This 12-step within committee of the Sunday Night Edison meeting put this workshop together for you all tonight. The 12-step within committee was created to reach out to those in and outside of the fellowship who still suffer and to address the relapse and recovery of our members. The committee's purpose is to strengthen Overeaters Anonymous by sharing information and ideas that generate recovery within the fellowship. Those who give 12-step within service encourage existing OA members to become or remain abstinent, to work the 12 steps, and to give service to the best of their ability. Doing this service increases the quantity and quality of our recovery in our fellowship, thereby assisting in our own spiritual journey. Our purpose here tonight is to offer encouragement and perhaps a new perspective on living the 12-step program so we can move forward into recovery. The steps are guiding principles to help a person emerge from the stronghold of addiction. The 12 steps were created with the goal of a new beginning. The program was designed to help people deepen their growth and have a better understanding of those of who they truly are as individuals. For many people, the new beginning is about recovering an identity that was lost during their addiction. You may find it possible to better understand the steps and start living them in your life. Many of us believe that without a conscientious effort to work all 12 steps in our everyday lives, OA is just another diet club. The steps are the heart of our program and enable us to keep continuous abstinence one day at a time. And that's from A Guide to the 12 Steps for you and your sponsor, OA, the OA pamphlet. Our first reader will now read the handout, which gives an overview of steps one through three. Thank you, Sarita.
All right, thank you, Robin. Hi, I'm Sarita, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sarita.
Welcome, everybody. Action is the magic word. The only way to solve a problem is with action. A minimum of analysis, a maximum of action. So let's take a look at the 12 steps of our program and see practically how action applies. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Many have taken this step mentally, but there never have been any action, and so the compulsive eating continues to get worse. Such an admission of powerlessness with no follow-up can feed our self-pity and the development of resentments. I am powerless, poor me. Or I'm powerless and it's your fault. In OA, we make this admission with a positive attitude that we can and will do something about it. So, if we are powerless, in order to do something about it, we must seek power somewhere. This we do in the second step, a power greater than ourselves. So we admitted that we are powerless over food. And what are we doing about it? Action demands that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's step two. And here again, the step often remains in the mind. There is no action, and faith without works is dead. This vital phase of the OA program is needed in the achieving and maintaining of abstinence, for it is here that the entire working of the 12 steps evolves from action, God's and ours. Lack of concerted action in step two denotes a weakness of faith. Such hesitancy may be very much present in the early days of every OA, but eventually, in God's time and way, with our willingness, there must be action. And again, the action of step two is contained in step three. If we truly believe that a higher power can restore us to sanity, the only logical practice of that faith would be when we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step three. As far as OA is concerned, and as far as the achieving and the maintaining of abstinence, it matters little what our belief is, but it is paramount that we act on our belief, regardless of what it may be. For in the realm of faith, above all else, action is the magic word. Act as if everything depended on yourself. Believe and trust as if everything depended upon God. Now, if the decision in the third step is sincere, In order to move forward in the recovery process, action, we proceed to make some sort of inventory to find out just what we are turning over to him. So therefore, we're going to have our first speaker.
Our first speaker tonight traveled all the way from Helmeta. He has an incredible story of recovery from the cruel disease of addiction. He's been asked to share how they apply to the first three steps. I'm sorry. Our speaker has been asked to share on how they apply the first three steps in their life today. Thank you, buddy. It's all yours.
Good evening. My name is Buddy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I'm awfully grateful to be here today. I'm a little nervous, but I guess that's one of my defects, isn't it? My what if is coming out, and I've never qualified in front of a group. I've shared in meetings, but I've never spoken in front of a group before. So my nerves are just there a little bit. I guess I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am a single father of two boys. One's a teenager, one's going to be a teenager in a couple of months, so that's interesting to be a single father and taking care of two teenagers. It tests me every day. I have one son who's 17, who's quite a handful. He's been a handful for a long time, and he's gotten himself into situations that his mother didn't appreciate, and a couple of years ago she put him in an institution, and they found that nothing was wrong with him and tried to release him, and the hospital wanted to release him to my care and she wouldn't permit it. So instead of being in an institution for a couple of days, he spent 3 months in an institution, and then they sent him 3 months to a group home. So I really came to my wit's end and finally said, enough is enough. I've been divorced for 10 years, but I am not going to let somebody harm a child like that. So through the power of this program, I was able to say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to work on it, I'm going to work my program the best of my ability, and I'm going to stick my feet in the ground, dig my heels in and say, this is not going to happen. We have now been in a legal battle for about two and a half years. Every penny I've ever saved is long gone. I do now have custody of both these children, but it is continuing even to this day. Just Thursday I got another motion, going up to another higher court to say, but I don't agree with everything that went on in the previous court. So the frustrations for me are tremendous with this. It's out of my hands. It's out of, I don't have any power over what's going on. So that really led me into this program. I knew I reached step one. I knew I was powerless over food, and my life was definitely unmanageable. I was an angry person, and the only way I could solve my anger was through food. My degree out of college is in hotel restaurant management, so I've been in nothing but hotel and restaurant situations all my life, and obviously there's nothing but nonstop booze and food and chaos. I don't know if anybody knows, the restaurant business is a free-for-all of just complete chaos. It is not a normal business world. It's a lot of low life. It's a lot of people who are out for themselves and out for no good. And it's a different world. While you're out and about, we're working. When you're sleeping, we're ready to go out and about. So that didn't solve anything. I mean, that was staying out late, partying too heavy, eating nonstop, and anything we wanted to eat usually in restaurants, and it just spiraled out of control. I hit my top weight a couple months ago, about 260 pounds. I am now abstinent about 115 days. I did lose my abstinence on Thanksgiving. It would be another maybe 60, 40, 50 days more than that. I have a 40-pound weight loss, and I am dealing with being a single father and dealing with this, these legal actions so much better than I ever did before because of program. I do pray every morning. I take it a moment at a time. I realize it's out of my control. I can only do what I can do. And work on it with the power of the program. So the program has helped me tremendously with my frustrations, and then the more that I am working with the program to deal with those frustrations, the less I want to eat. And now the compulsion to overeat you know, for the last 115 days has been lifted. I'm very appreciative. I have more energy than I ever had. I'm more aware. I'm more sensitive. And I think that, you know, leads us up to, you know, a little bit what we're talking today. Step one, I always appreciated the word we. I realize it's we, it's not I. You know, it doesn't say I'm I admitted that I was powerless over, it says we. So it's all of us. We're a group together. I don't feel alone. I don't feel isolated. I definitely, the last 10 years, I mean, I've been a single person for 10 years. I have made no effort whatsoever to get out there and meet anybody. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to deal with it again. I've been married twice. And my view is I was going to be 40 years old and never meet anybody again. And I was refined to say, okay, you're going to be alone the rest of your life. And that's no way to be. And I really hibernated and ate my poor buddy, you know, as best I could. I just kept eating and eating. And I don't belong to any other fellowships, so there was no other vice for me other than just to continue to overeat. And one thing I remember, one of the first statements I ever remember saying to me as a child, my parents saying to me, it was my father, who's 80 now, says he was a child of the Depression and you ate everything on your plate. You know, there was nothing left, and that was a motto. So whatever I was fed, whatever was in front of me was consumed. And, you know, that's just no way to be now. And I appreciate I have found the food plan that works for me. I no longer think about, you know, food or the want of, you know, what's next or you know, what comes with the meal. I just realize it's a process to shop for the appropriate foods and put it together with this food plan and eat my, you know, three balanced meals with nothing in between and, you know, one day at a time. So, I mean, that's basically how I got to step one, and I realized that I was definitely powerless over food. It took me quite a while. I've been in the program probably about 2.5 years. I started September 5th, and I guess 2007. And there are a couple people in the room I recognize that were there the first day I was there. It was the Westfield Wednesday Night Group, and it was a foreign language. I had no idea what they were talking about. I cried like a baby. I remember that. You know, I just, and you know, a grown man crying, that's hard to take. That's hard to realize, you know, why, you know, you're here and you know, why am I crying? You know, but I heard what I needed to hear at that program. But it took me all over 2 years to find a sponsor and have somebody help me, lead me through the steps and through the way of the program. I'm working it very hard now. I go to a lot of meetings. I'm probably averaging about 5 meetings a week, 5 different meetings. I am now a salesman to the restaurant trade. I go to hotels and restaurants and country clubs selling restaurant supplies. So my time is flexible, so I can make meetings and day meetings. And, you know, I can go, oh, I'm going to go sell in this area because there's a good meeting. So I'm really leading my sales life around where there are meetings. I can't get out as much at night being a single father, but I try to make as many day meetings as I can and 1 or 2 on the weekend. So. And then my sponsor right away told me the idea that all I had to do was have the action of I'm going to believe in step two, that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. He says, just come to the decision that you want to believe in it. You know, he says, that's just part of the step two. You don't have to believe. You're not saying that you believe. You just came to believe. And I never liked to be told what to do or how to do anything. Nobody was going to directly tell me that you had to do anything, especially when it came to religion. You know, I wasn't going to be told. But the idea of this, it was really simple, and it gave you some flexibility. But then again, it didn't give you any flexibility because it's really quite specific what you need to do in the steps and in the program. So I just, you know, I've been working the program and doing the tools and working the steps, and there are plenty of things I don't like. I don't want to go to a meeting, you know, on a Sunday morning, or I don't want to do it 3 days in a row, but I just keep doing and doing, and the more I do it, the more successful life seems to be, and the more spiritual I'm getting, and the more I'm doing my actions are correct. You know, I'm the kind of guy who wants to just blurt out immediately, I don't like what you're doing, I'm going to be abrasive, I'm going to tell you you're wrong, and tell you what I don't like about you. I don't do that anymore. I take a step back. And this week, with some of the frustrations going on, you know, I just bit my lip and waited. And miracles did happen this week. Things happened where I wanted to, let's say, tell my lawyer that she was headed in the wrong path. I didn't say anything. I didn't insult her. I didn't do that like I wanted to, because I pick up the phone and I hang up the phone. I don't make that call. And she headed us in a different path. And I was shocked that, just keeping my mouth shut and praying and working this program, things were working out. My difficult son, he's still difficult. Nothing's going to change with that way. He tests me every minute of the day, but I'm peaceful. I'm mellow with him, 99% of the time. I work with him. He's coming around. He hasn't spoken to his mother in over 2 years. She's basically abandoned him, and it's quite sad because he's just a byproduct of all the chaos that she participated in, and he watched it. I mean, children learn from their parents, so, and it's been working, so the more action I take, the more things seem to be working for me. So I greatly appreciate the program, and I realize, the tougher things get, the more I got to work my program harder and harder, because the more successful it makes me, and the more things work out as I work my program. It really does make it easier, so it's, am I talking out of both sides of my mouth? Hey, it's more frustrating, it's harder and harder, but work your program, it'll make it easier and easier. And it does seem to work that way. And I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood them. I'm not sure if I understand them 100%, but I have a much better idea what I think my higher power is than I did 6 months ago. And I am a believer that you have to be abstinent to find a higher power, and you have to find a higher power to help you be abstinent. So, I'm working very hard every day to stay abstinent and stay clear-headed and work this program and pray and try to understand what I can. I'm reading all sorts of other books and trying to find some spiritual books in the religion I grew up with, which was... I was a Reformed Jew and very mellow, very simplistic approach to religion. But I'm trying to read up on as much as I can. They call it Kabbalah, which is basically the Jewish religion, spirituality. And I'm just reading some general books on that, and it's been very helpful. But it's amazing, how similar it is to a program. And I guess one part I missed is, in the beginning, I wanted to find a diet club. I wanted to lose weight. My blood pressure, I went to give blood one day, and they kicked me out. They said, your blood pressure's off the roof, and we're not taking your blood. And I, prided myself in years of giving blood as much as I could. I thought that was a good service. And never before was I told my blood pressure was too high. And when that happened, I realized I'm getting to middle age, and they won't take my blood because my blood pressure is through the roof. So I had to do something about it. And at the same time, I was trying to find something spiritual. And I thought I was looking for two separate things. And it's amazing when I came to program that how I found both things within one program. And I am gravitating to friends now that are in program. I have a whole mess of friends, a couple of college friends, a couple of people I've known a long time. They're all in program. They're all in different programs. But they're good, honest people. And they're direct. They help me. They talk with me. We talk program, no matter what program they're in. And my buddies are probably in 3 or 4, maybe 5 different programs. We all talk the same thing. It's been very helpful. And I just appreciate people in program. I appreciate everybody here and everybody that comes to meetings and shares and helps and it's a good world, and I was such a negative person, and I thought it wasn't a good world, and that whole view is changing as I find program. I'm a happier person. I think I'm a better person, and I appreciate program quite a bit. I'm only finished up with step 3, scared to death to start step 4, because there are plenty of defects and plenty of things to work on and plenty of amends to be made. I think that's tough, but I'm looking forward to it, and I guess that's it. I appreciate being able to talk and share my short story with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe we have another reading on the next, on steps 4 through 6.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Sarita, compulsive overeater. All right, action is the magic word. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. The book Alcoholics Anonymous suggests that this inventory be written, again, indicating the value in the action of writing. If there is sincerity in the making of our list, then action takes place in the next step, when we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Many of us have admitted our wrongs to God and to ourselves for years. That's easy. It entails no action, no change, no effort. It remained in our minds, and nothing changed but more fear, resentment, and good intentions. Action takes place when we admit our wrongs to another human being. Otherwise, there would be no true mental catharsis, no improvement, no relief. And although many balk at this particular phase of the fifth step, it is precisely the most important phase, for it is action. And action is the magic word. Action moves us through the steps and into recovery. If we are honest in taking this fifth step, action flows into and demands the subsequent step. For if we have sincerely admitted our wrongs, our faults, and our failures, we certainly must take, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Here we are entirely ready and willing to accept all that happens each day as God works on our character, along with our cooperation. Each day we act, saying in effect, "You arrange my life, God. I'll do my best today to fit in." Sincerity in this step finds its action in the next step.
Okay, our next speaker is Leanne. I forget where you're from, but I know that I owe you a ton. So come on over here.
Hi, everybody. Well, these are my three favorite steps. And the reason they're my three favorite steps is because I was so scared of them originally. And I was really fortunate. I've been in the rooms since November of 2001. And I sat in the rooms for about 2.5 months, and I cried. And I cried. And I didn't talk, and I cried. And I started to ask after a meeting, and it was a Cranford Saturday morning meeting, in fact, and I said, "So what's this sponsorship thing about? How does that actually work?" And this really nice woman looked at me, and she said, "I'll be your sponsor." And I went, "Okay." And she said, "You're going to write every day." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "You're going to read your writing to me every next day." I said, "Okay." "And you're going to plan your food, write it down, and give it to me when you call me. And you're going to call me on time." This is an awful lot of okaying, but okay. I mean, I'm a compulsive eater. I don't say okay, okay? So she said, "We're going to do step 4. And I have done more than one step 4. And this one that I did with her was according to the big book. The big book gives us explicit instructions on how to take an inventory. They're written down. There is a back to basics big book meeting format, which is sponsored by various 12-step groups. And I was fortunate enough to go to one when I came in with my new sponsor, who sat with me all 5 weeks. And I wrote my fourth step, and I worried about it being perfect. And she said, "Don't worry about it being perfect. Just finish it." So I finished it, and I went over to her house, and I read it to her and explained what it all meant. And that was my fifth step experience, my first one. And she really showed me that the purpose of a sponsor is not to fix me. It's someone to listen and not go, when I read my fifth step aloud. That's all it is, okay? It's not solving world hunger. It's not finding world peace. It's being a neutral but caring and supportive voice. And that's what the fifth step is all about. It's making that open confession. And that, for me, started the process of being able to say, "Sorry, I don't know how to do that. Could you explain how to do that? I'm really sorry. I should have done something and I didn't. I really have to apologize." I never knew how to say those sentences before I came into these rooms, and I never really thought about them until I thought about the implications of not saying them, because that's what I was writing down on my fourth step, is all that stuff that I really wish I had done better at the time. Now, step six, according to the big book, and I'm going to pull out the big book, it goes through the process of writing the fourth step. It goes through the process of giving it away to, you know, a neutral, loving witness. And then you go home and you meditate on what you did. And you try and figure out, was it enough? Was it okay? You know, and you're really not supposed to say, no, it wasn't enough, by the way. All right, you're supposed to get calm and centered and accept that the effort was the effort that you had at the time. And so the big book asks, is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. And then there's the six-step prayer, which goes, my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven. So this book that gives me pages and matrices and inventory sheets doesn't tell me very much about step six or step seven for that matter. So it was amazing to me that my most recent sponsor explained to me that the reason that the steps are in the order they are is because they need to be. And the reason that step six steps follow steps four and five is because it has to. And that there's a way to work step six that builds on step four and five. And this is the way that I worked through the steps most recently, and I got all the way through this time. And this method is really simple. I think people who've done a fourth step may have had the same experience I did, which is that you have these things, right? And everybody has different things, but they're the same things for every person, and they come over and over and over. It's a pattern of reacting to life. It's a customary response. You know, some people please, some people beat themselves up, some people are hostile and cranky, whatever it is, there's an immense process, and we'll get to that. We're not there yet. What we're trying to do, what I was trying to do, is figure out a way to move past some of these defects of character. So my sponsor told me that what I should do is take my fourth step, my written inventory. I need to go through the fourth step, and I need to look for patterns. Here's some pride. Here's some grandiosity. Here's one of my evil twins, expectation. Here's another one of my evil twins, entitlement. As in, they didn't have an abstinence starch, so I'm entitled to have two at my next meal. All right? It comes out in everything for me. Entitlement is huge, and expectations are huge. That's where I put myself in another person's life and make them act the way that I want them to act. Neither one of those things serves me well. However, at some point in my life, they may well have had a purpose, or I wouldn't have learned to do things this way. So my sponsor said I go through my fourth step and I make a list. When I gave her my fifth step, she made a list. She handed me that list. So by now the list is about 42 things long. And she said, and by the way, you can go through the 12 and 12s and go through the big book. And there's many passages that talk about character defects. And if you don't already have it on your list, just write them down. Because you probably have them to some degree too. And I should make a small comment that a character defect is really not, it's a very negative word. And I've had sponsees that really objected to that term. And I've come to realize that a character defect is a trait that's taken to excess. I am happy when I am perseverant. I'm much less happy when I am stubborn. It's just further along the spectrum. It's further out to the side. I want to move toward the center. I want to be balanced, and I want to be sane and happy and useful. And I can't do that when I'm out here with these extreme feelings and these extreme reactions. So what my sponsor taught me to do is how to write a Step 6 essay. And there is a handout. It's at the table. You can get it at the break. And so we have an OA 12 and 12 method. And people don't necessarily know that this is in the OA 12 and 12. I really urge you to pull out the OA 12 and 12 and read this for yourself. So you start by making that list of opportunities to improve. And you should base this on your fourth and fifth steps. Add anything that you haven't already identified. I listed pages on this worksheet where you can go to look for some other character traits that you might want to consider. You're going to do an essay on each trait. First, you say what the trait is at the top of the page. The next thing that I did is I considered how that trait came to be in my life. How did it get out of balance for me? How did I place too much reliance on it? And how did it sort of subtly start to warp my reactions to life? So I write about that. Then I figure out, how am I now blocked because of this trait? Because it's outlived its usefulness. I have program now. I didn't have program when I started to over-rely on all of these ways of reacting to life. So now's the fun part. I do a little creative visualization. Okay, the trait's gossip. I don't want to gossip. Well, what do I do when the gossip hound in the office comes over, pulls up a chair, and starts in about this one and this one and this one and that situation? What do I do? What am I going to do in that situation? Because if I don't have a plan, I'm going to be giving it back as good as I'm getting it. So I sit down and I think, I can change the topic of the conversation. I can pull, have something else ready, actually, rather than pulling something out of thin air. I can think about something that that person likes to talk about. Maybe they'd like to talk about themselves instead of talking about another person. I have actually said that I've told people that I don't want to engage in a gossip fest. But I usually don't start with that, and I've only done that a couple of times. And that's sometimes well-received and sometimes not. But the point is, if I write down some different things that I could do, then I'm less likely to do the same old thing every time. And then what I do with this is I turn this is my daily reading, I turn this over to my sponsor on a daily basis. And this, to me, is the process of becoming entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. I can't be ready for me to have them removed until I have alternatives. Nature abhors a vacuum. What happens is that stuff rushes in. Sometimes it's worse stuff than what I took out in the first place. So I want to have God take them, and I want to be a better person at the end of that process. And I also would like them to stay taken, but that doesn't actually happen every time. You know, the real stubborn ones keep coming back, but I know how to work on them now. And I don't have to just you know, meditate on them. I can actually act on them too. So please get your handouts, and thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Chris. I have a quick announcement. Compulsive overeater.
Hello, Chris.
Anyone who'd like to share, we are taping this, so we do need you to sign a release. I'm going to put it here on the table with a pen. Just sign your name. If you don't want to be recognized, this will go on the website. Just change your name when you announce your name, okay?
The meeting is now open for sharing. We will be open for sharing for about 15 minutes, and then we will have some announcements, and then take a break, and then we'll do our second set of speakers. So the floor is open.
Hi, I'm Mel, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mel.
I've been gone for a couple weeks because I had a death in the family, and then I stepped away. I didn't have a good reason other than I didn't feel like dealing with anything. And I maintained my abstinence, but I wasn't really working the 12 steps. I wasn't writing every day. I wasn't even calling my sponsor every day. I wasn't really keeping in mind what needs to be done in order to the solution for this disease. And I really needed to be here today, and I really needed to hear everybody, because it reminds me, it gives me hope again, and it makes me want to work that much harder. And I'm in the middle of step four, so Lord knows I need every bit of help that I can get for that. I've already written several pages, and it doesn't seem to be ending any day soon. But I have hope, and I have hope that anything's possible with a little bit of perseverance, a little bit of effort, and a little bit of help. And so I'm here asking for help, and that's all I can do, is ask for help. Thanks.
I'm Nick, I'm a compulsive overeater. In one of my readings today, I read that Thomas Edison said that it didn't take 1,000 mistakes to make the light bulb, it took 1,000 steps. And what he also said was that, because each step is a process, and if I work each day doing something different than I did yesterday, I may not get happy results, I may not get results I like, but I could always tweak it for the next day. And it's tough, you know, especially what other people think about me. And there's a spiritual speaker, well, I won't mention his name, but says, you know, what other people think about me is none of my business. That is a hard concept. You know, what my son thinks about me, what my daughter thinks about me, what my parents think about me, what anybody thinks about me is none of my business. But I also have to know that I'm human and that I will start thinking like that. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's his name said? That's none of my business. So I have to, on a daily basis, work the steps. Go to meetings when I don't want to. I want to be behind my DVR and just watching like 1,000 shows because I'm compulsive about that too. But I need to be here to hear how other people work the steps. Because if I don't, you know, I'm going to lose not only my abstinence, but everything that came with it. You know, my relationships with my children, I should say. You know, my son was just not wanting to go home, which broke my heart. But in the days when I was in the food with my daughter, when we were out somewhere and she didn't want to go home, I was a nasty SOB. We're going home whether you like it or not. And this time I just cheered him on. Look, you're going home to see mommy. You're going home to see your little hamster. You know, stuff like that. And I got him in the car and, you know, he still didn't like going home. But I felt so much better that, you know what, it's none of my business how he's acting. He's acting the way he's going to act. He's a 3-year-old. So, and again, if I didn't have the abstinence, if I didn't call to people and bitch to people about what's going on in my life, I wouldn't have to be able to even stand here and talk calmly about it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm grateful, compulsive voter and food addict. One of the things I recall working with people and doing the steps, a lot of people have things they want to take to the grave. And I remember one sponsee that I had, they said, well, I really don't want to tell anybody this. And I said, well, you don't have to tell anybody. You just write it down and read it to me. Because the hardest ones is the one I encourage them to do first. Because everything after that is easy. And it's really amazing. I remember I was in the process of doing my ninth step, and I was at work, and I had to make amends to one of the guys because my daughters would be selling Girl Scout cookies, and he would order them, and I would eat them, and I had to make amends to him for that because I told him they didn't come, right? 5,000 of them, and his didn't come, right? So the thing is that in making amends, it's not as hard as you think because That day, I wound up making amends to other people at work that I didn't even have on my list, because I remember doing things like tell them, oh, you don't have to clean the machine, I'll clean it. And then when the foreman came over, I'd tell him that, look at the mess he left me. And these are the kind of things that I did. And I came to realize that I needed to make amends for these things. I needed to make it right. And I remember my AA sponsor told me that I had to make amends for money that, not that I had stolen, but I didn't give back. The insurance company paid us twice for the birth of my first daughter, and we never sent the second one back. And I had to make that right. And my daughter was like 28 years old. And I also had to put the interest. So, you know, there's a lot of things about doing it, but boy, once you do it, it's about cleaning house, you know, and being right with the world and cleaning that slate. And the fear of doing it is nothing like the joy you feel after you've done it. So this program is a 12-step program. The tools, abstinence is a tool. It's not the program. Thanks for letting me share.
Where's the mic?
It's right in front of you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Hi, my name is Steffi. I'm a food addict. And it gives me pleasure to look out at everybody, because I know a lot of people in these rooms for many years. Unfortunately, I am bigger than the last time probably I was at this meeting. And one of the things I have learned in program is to be honest. And it's hard for me sometimes to go to meetings because I'm having trouble getting my abstinence back. I'm getting there. And my sponsor tonight had told me about this meeting, and I knew one of the speakers personally, so I came for that. And the reason, actually, I got up here is to thank the people who give service, who put these evenings together, who do the work. And I am just grateful. Thank you.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. I'm Michael B., a grateful compulsive overeater. Hi. Thank you for being here tonight. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Here at the Edison Sunday Night Beginners Discussion Meeting, we encourage everyone to get a sponsor. Writing questions that focus on the first three steps are made available both through the website and myself. I am the group secretary's announcer, and I have copies of those 21 questions. Here at this meeting, we listen to a speaker qualify each week, and sharing that ensures one can often hear and see how the first three steps are or are not being taken, and if those principles are being applied in everyday life. Attendance at a weekly step or big book meeting is encouraged, along with the Edison meeting, as well as continuing the recovering process through steps 4 through 12. Sponsor identification here at Edison meeting now includes not just the length of absence and weight loss if applicable, but sponsor identification now includes the steps completed. My own little share is I know when I work the steps every day and I do action, it works. And when I don't do it, it doesn't work. Well, for those of you who need, the bathrooms are out this door here and to the left. Literature will be on sale to 8:30. And May 1st, we have an upcoming retreat day sponsored by the 12-Step Within Committee of this group in the upper room in Neptune. There's flyers on the literature table. And we will have door prize raffles will commence at 9 p.m. So I just want to say thank you all for coming tonight. It's a good meeting here on Sunday night. I know I get a lot out of it, and I know I've seen you a lot at other meetings during the week. So thank you all for coming.
In saying Roseanne's prayer, I put my
hand in yours,
and together we can do what we can never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our unstudied willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams.
Good evening. Welcome back. Part two. My name is Kate. I am a compulsive overeater. And I am grateful that I was a compulsive overeater and that I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm very grateful for this Sunday night meeting. I am celebrating 16 months of sobriety. And this is my home group, which has led me every step of the way. So I'm very happy to be here. Bridging the gap between program and life. When it comes to incorporating a 12-step program into everyday life, there are times when a person may feel disconnected. This means that there is a gap between the program and what happens in daily life activities. One way to bridge this gap is to adopt the 12 steps as a life philosophy. Every individual has a life philosophy, whether or not they realize it. For example, author and clergyman Charles Swindell has a profound life philosophy. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. Philosophies are based on beliefs, and many beliefs have a spiritual element to them. The 12-step program, which is spiritually based, is a prime way to adopt a new philosophy. A constant self-awareness and vision for life can help keep a person focused. The 12 steps serve as an aid to help a person maintain a healthy attitude and mental posture. When a person can stay focused on their vision through the 12 steps, they can better realize when their vision is becoming cloudy and sidetracked. Integrating the steps into daily life helps them, those recovering from addiction, to feel more like each day is less of a struggle. It's the integration that will propel a person through future months and years while remaining abstinent. Symbolically, spring is a symbol of the renewal of life and of hope for the future. When it first arrives, it is sluggish and dazed. Then, as if an unknown bugle blows, nature slowly wakes up. The butterfly hatches first into a caterpillar in a cocoon, and then it comes back out of its tomb and decorates all of the countryside. What better time to recommit to your own recovery through the steps? Now, Sarita, our next reader, will come and read about the program from steps 7 to 9.
Hi, I'm Sarita, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Continuing on with action is the magic word. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Here again, many fail to get past the mental or vocal stage, asking God to remove this and that fault and expecting him to do all of the work without any footwork, taking no action. In other words, there are many who spend much time and futile energy in wishing away their faults without taking any practical steps to practice virtue, petitioning God to take away pride, but making little effort to practice humility. The sincere person takes action, and in order to intelligently begin the practice of humility, etc., makes a plan, a list. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Many of us even went so far in our endeavor to recover in the past as to make such a list, only to stop there. Taking the action of using this list, we do something about it in the next step. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Direct amends, true action, is a practice of humility. Thinking sorrow is not really sorrow. True sorrow demands action. Not merely we wish we hadn't done this, or we wish we hadn't done that, but rather we didn't do this or that, or we did this or that. We are sorry and are going to do precisely this and that to make up for it. That is action.
Sarita will come now and read to us about the next steps, 10, 11, and 12.
I just want to point out real quick, this poster in the front says in steps 1 through 3, we begin to realize that we have wings. Steps 4 through 6, we start flapping our wings and running trying to take off. Steps 7 through 9, we start to fly. And in steps 10 through 12, we teach others how to fly. So let's dust off our feathers. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This is not just done mentally. Admitting it in the secrecy of heart is not enough. We must act on it. If we have lost our temper, we must go to the person involved and admit we were wrong. Even though we may have been right in our beliefs, we were losing our temper. Unless we rid ourselves of it by the external admission, we as compulsive overeaters are in danger of relapse. Some situations would not benefit from a public admission, but we should admit them to someone. We soon find out that for success, we must regularly seek assistance from a higher power, from God. So in order that he may act on our characters, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. We ask for God's will for us by verbal prayer. We learn God's will for us through meditation. We do the will of God by action. Or put another way, when you pray for potatoes, reach for a hoe. Then and only then will the power of God flow through us to give us not only abstinence, but contentment. So having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all of our affairs. We find that God has acted upon us. As a result of our acting upon the first 11 steps, he has given to us a spiritual awakening, an entirely new outlook toward God, towards our lives, toward our neighbor, and towards ourselves. So now we continue to go into action to ensure abstinence and our newfound happiness by the action of trying to carry the message of the spiritual awakening as the result of working all 12 steps to other compulsive eaters, and by the action of practicing the principles in all our affairs. The attempt is the action. The success is God's action, not ours. And here's to you.
Thank you, Sarita. Our next speaker is Christina, who I met the first night I ever walked into an OA room, and who has been, that smile, every time I see it, is really cheers me up. So, the first time I really heard Christina speak was at my first retreat, which had a tremendous impact on me. So, my friend, Christina.
Thank you very much.
I always bring a timer
because I've been around a long time. And it is, I don't have enough minutes to tell you about all the blessings that I've experienced these years. But I do bring handouts every time I speak because I think you should get a prize if you listen to me. So, if you guys would be so kind enough to pass those out, and I have a few more here if we need more.
My name is Christina, and I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I've been in programs since May of 1981, grateful for every clean day that I've had since I've been in this program. It has been a life-changing event. There is such energy that we experience in this room. I remember when I first came in the first night, they said, get a sponsor and get a big book, which is what I did. And I came, didn't say anything for the next 6 months or so. I was so shy, sat in the back of the room, and I listened to the stories. And as I listened to how people shared their strength, hope, and experience, I noticed some things. The people that were successful had a sponsor and a big book. We didn't have a 12 and 12. Is anybody new here tonight? Is this anybody's first time? Okay. Well, this is my OA 12 and 12. And, I suggest that you'll notice that it's marked a little bit because when I speak about the steps of the program, I like to refer to the words in the book. When I first came in, we didn't have an OA 12 and 12. We used the AA one. And I was kind of snarky about this book for a long time. But last year, maybe it was the year before, I started to work with new people, and I said, come on, Get with it, Christina. This was written specifically for us, and there are some beautiful, beautiful things in here. So I would suggest that everybody get one, read it, highlight it. My books are in Technicolor. I have to find what the adhesive is that's going to put that thing back together, because I hate to give up my books when, you know, I have spent such time with them. So step 10 says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This is a picture of a root and a branch. This is, whoops, a lovely little flower up here, and all the stuff that keeps that weed going. And we were at a retreat in Long Beach Island one year, and the woman brought that picture. And, you know, not everything about that is bad, but, you know, all the habits that kept me alive till I got here, I needed. I needed every cracker I put in my mouth. I needed every device that I had to keep me alive until I got here. This is the new stuff, life-changing event. And all the people that I knew that were successful, they knew the third step prayer, so that's something I learned. They read the big book, they qualified, they did service, they had a sponsor, they were sponsors, and they worked the steps diligently. They worked them when they were on the upward swing of the scale, and they worked them in the valley too. But what I found out for me is when I'm in the valley, I have some friends that I can call up and say, can you breathe with me today? You know, I'm just claiming my seat, because that's all I can do for today. Step 10 is one of the things that helps to keep me in the middle, neither up here or down there. It said the first three steps are called the show-up steps, the next are called the own-up, and the last are called the grow-up steps. It takes a lot of perseverance to continue to come to this program, and then to work 10, 11, and 12. It says in this step that perseverance is about to become the key aspect of our program of recovery when you get to step 10, even in those times when we feel as though it isn't working and we aren't recovering quickly enough. I can remember one time, I have a friend who came in the same night I'm in. She has 28 years of abstinence. And I said, geez, I don't feel that I have a spiritual program. And she said, Christina, just because you feel that way doesn't mean you don't have a spiritual program and that it's not working for today. All you have to do is show up. And I believed her. And sometimes, you know, I didn't know that I would have the strength or the faith of the women that stood in front of the rooms, but I came along enough that I developed my own. And I believed in theirs. So that's what I say to my sponsees. If you don't feel you have any faith today, believe that I believe, and we'll just continue another day. That's all we need to do. Step 10 allows us to recognize our emotions and walk through the pain they cause us, but then to let go of them and turn them over to our higher power so that we can regain our emotional balance. So how do I work step 10 today? Lately, I went back to those daily pages. Kathy is one of our trusted servants at intergroup, and for a while she was carrying around the last of our supply. This at one time was a fundraiser for us. So the last of the daily pages is on the table over there, and you know, they're for sale, or you can copy this one, or there's another version of it on our OA Central Jersey website. I write down my food, and I write down how I was feeling, and I write down where I felt short. And, you know, sometimes I might discuss some of those things with my sponsor, and sometimes I don't need to. I just need to kind of tune myself up and perhaps do it a little better tomorrow. Some people do a balance sheet, which is one of the first 10 steps I did, and I can remember I had this sponsor that was a step Nazi, And, you know, she says, Christina, I take people 1 to 10. That's it. So I knew that if I wanted her strength, I was going to try to do what she did. And we finished 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, then we started on 10. And I can remember writing down my 10 step, and the third day I woke up smiling. And it was because one of the things I wrote there were the things I did well. And I, you know, there had been such a committee in my head up to that point in time of, you know, the things that were always most outstanding were the things that where I fell short. It was a good accounting to be able to stand back and say, yeah, you did this well today. And she would also give me assignments like do something nice for somebody, you know, and don't claim the event, don't tell anybody about it. You know, one of my joys today is to be able to do something like that. So the purpose is to live consciously. That's why I would do a 10-step. Another 10-step that I've done from time to time is called an AEIOU inventory. A is for abstinence. I write down what I'm going to eat. E is for exercise. I is how did I take care of myself for the day. O is how would I relate with others. U is uncovered feelings. And then the fellow that mentioned this on the tape I was listening to said he writes down three gratitudes and a yahoo. And a yahoo was some kind of personal breakthrough. And it's a good, you know, it's good to mix it up. As Cindy said, there's more than one way. And when the way you're doing gets stale, go do something else. But keep moving forward. In steps 8 and 9, we learn to practice the attitudes of mercy and forgiveness. That's one of the most beautiful sentences for me that I've read in that OA 12 and 12. In step 10, we practice living in harmony with others and treating everybody with justice and courtesy. I had this sister-in-law who was a rip when I was young, and she did everything she could to destroy every family party. And I was in program at that point in time, and many times I would say nothing. First thing I did was to stop gossiping about her with her sister because I never felt good about it. And then I would say to myself from time to time, you don't have to like her. You just have to treat her with justice and courtesy. And flash forward 20 years after her mom died, she was the one that came and helped me clean out the house and scrub the floors on her hands and knees. I could not have known that 20 years before, and if I had picked up the baseball bat to, you know, to put her in her place, perhaps we would not be friends today. And we enjoy each other. Who knew? Who knew? One of the gifts of my program. And OA is the place where I came, and I took my wounded feelings, and I spoke to a sponsor, and my girlfriends held me up. And I listened to people and learned how to do that. Step 10 opens my heart. Step 11 helps me to live the way that I want to live. Life is a mystery. That's really the truth. And step 11 is a way to cope with these things that happen that I don't know are going to happen. I still, you know, have fear as one of my character defects. Sometimes I act as if I don't have fear. I talk to God a lot, and I grew up in a religion that, you know, we went to church on Sunday and there were prayers. When I first went to church when I was a little girl, we said the prayers in Latin. When I grew up, it was almost like they were still in Latin because they didn't connect me to a higher power. What I learned to do here was to pray, and to say simple statements from my heart like, I am nervous today. I am afraid. Did you really mean for this to happen this way? And sometimes when life is not what I expected, I say, okay, God, you knew about this too. And I'm just going to put this in the palm of your hand today because that's all I can do for this moment. Sometimes I say the third step prayer. 28 years later, that prayer is still good. That's on page 63 of the big book. I offer myself to thee. I can remember going to work, riding to work, screaming, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with thee as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self and let me not choke her when I get to work. And You know, I don't know how many, I wish I had a buck for every time I've said that prayer, for every time it's brought me back. There on that card, that the yellow card, on one side of it is a new meditation that I've been doing. It goes, "Be still and know that I am God." I heard this on one of those LA intergroup shares. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and be still. Be." And that's another thing I do. You know, there's even people that have been meditating for years say sometimes you have to start with small steps. So I get a timer like this one, and I sit down in my chair for 5 minutes. And when 5 minutes is gone, the timer, I don't worry about the time because the timer goes off. And when 5 minutes is gone, if I want to get up and move, I do. But that's the way I started. I gave myself 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening. And I'd use, sometimes I use something about like this. And it's been very helpful to me. I have about a minute more, so we're going to fast forward to the 12th step. This program is about love and service. When I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the service of everybody that kept the doors open, that came and led the meetings, that made the coffee, that organized the day, that did the format. I used to sponsor a lot of people. I sponsor fewer people now, but I do more service on another level. But, you know, it's what I need to do to make the program alive for me. And that's really what I need to do to keep necessary. I can't tell you how many times I've been lonely. I've taken those numbers out of the Weak Care book, and I'll call four numbers. The fifth number I call, the person says, "How did you know I needed a phone call?" They didn't need a phone call. I needed a phone call. And that was the day that I used their number. And so some synchronicity put us together at that point in time. And I have found that more and more and more times as the days have gone by in this program. I didn't have any living skills when I came in here, or whatever living skills I had were not effective for me. I've been a normal size for a very long time now. My kids don't remember a mother that was as heavy as I was, because they were little babies when I came in. And it's a choice every day. We choose what our life path is. We can't choose the circumstances, but I can choose my response. Something I read in my meditation book the other day said that there are all feelings, when you really look at them, turn out to be either love or fear. In some ways, anger, hatred, jealousy, criticism, and egotism are all forms of fear. Joy, interest, and the feeling of success and accomplishment, appreciation of the art, are forms of love. The difference between the two feelings are that love is always creative and fear is always destructive. And that's what we do on that 10-step list. That's what we do when we pray to walk through a circumstance. We choose between love and fear. And I can tell you, this is the best support system I have ever known. And I just wanted to read the last paragraphs from our OA 12 and 12. "We who began working the steps in order to recover from compulsive eating now find that through them we have embarked on a lifelong journey of spiritual growth. From the isolation of food obsession, we have emerged into a new world. Walking hand in hand with our friends and our higher power, we are now exploring this world using the great spiritual principles embodied in the 12 steps as a map to guide our way. We gratefully follow in the footsteps of many others who have walked this way before us, and we're gratified to be making footprints of our own for others to follow. Those of us who live this program don't simply carry the message, we are the message. Each day that we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery, which attracts others who want what we found in OA. We're always happy to share our secret, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, which empower each of us to live well and be well one day at a time. So God bless you. Thank you all for being here for me tonight.
You have much to carry here. This is for you. Front porch for spring. Thank you.
Christina, that was beautiful. And you wrapped up for us all of what we're about concisely in a beautiful, beautiful way. Thank you so much. And I think we should give a loud applause for all of our speakers, and we're going to come to wrap up, okay? Okay, two things we're going to do now is we're going to call up Chris in a minute. But the first thing I want to do is I want for all sponsors, please, to stand. We've heard the importance tonight of sponsorship. These people are sponsors giving their time, helping another person or several other people, and this is our goal, that everybody will come to sponsorship in this program so that this program can continue to grow. Thank you for these sponsors. Now, are those available sponsors going to please stand? Thank you so much for coming out tonight and for sharing with us. And thank you to our speakers and for the enrichment and the encouragement of what this OA program is to us. We're always inspired. We need that inspiration all of the time. And you were so helpful to us tonight. Thank you. Okay. You may find it possible to better understand the steps and start living them in your life, even though you may not follow it exactly or fully understand it. Many of us believe that without a conscientious effort to work all 12 steps in our everyday lives, OA is just another diet club. The steps are the heart of our program and enable us to keep continuous abstinence one day at a time. Living a sober life is a choice and something that needs to be worked at. It won't be easy at first. There will be a tremendous up and down, but they will pass. And in the end, finally, living free of addiction will feel glorious. Life can be better than it was before the addiction took hold. As we have heard in tonight's discussions, we cannot do this alone. Sponsorship is one of the vital keys to success in Overeaters Anonymous. The sponsor maintains recovery from compulsive overeating by sharing the 12-step program with others. The newcomer in reaching out for help from a successful OA member transcends the long-held idea that self-sufficiency must be maintained at all costs and acquires a state of humility so necessary for the practice of the 12 steps. The sponsor and the newcomer benefit equally from the relationship. The best way to learn to be a sponsor is to have a sponsor. We hope we have fulfilled our purpose of offering encouragement and new perspective on living the 12 steps program of recovery. The 12 steps cannot erase the damage addiction causes, but a new beginning is possible. As Maria Robinson said, nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. Thank you all for coming out tonight, and for those of you who wish, please stand. Join me in our closing prayer, which is my favorite OA prayer, which Christina says she says many times a day, and I say many times a day. Our third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Safe home, everyone. Thank you for coming.